Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
All right, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, when you find it, shall praise the Lord. This is perhaps one of the most commonly used passages of Scripture when it comes to guarding our heart. And I love this whole passage, really. But verse 23 is what we're going to look at. The Bible says, keep thy heart. Everybody shout heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And we're going to continue tonight with part 4, the dimensions of extraordinary leadership. And we're going to be talking about the power of leading from your heart. Lead with all your heart. Everybody say all your heart. All your heart. So tonight, what we're going to ask God's blessings. We're going to ask Him to help us. Father, I know at times, God, I have severe brain fog, severe dizziness. And tonight is one of those moments. And Father, You've been with me even when I drove here, even when I was behind the piano. You showed me Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. And tonight again, I'm asking You, Father, for Your help, Your strength, and the anointing on me that will help me through this, God. And I thank You for this word. Let it go forth in power and demonstration of Your Spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, amen. So we're going to be talking tonight about this power of connection. And we're going to learn this evening about leadership and its importance with it when it comes to the concept of a relationship. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Someone said this, and you've heard me say it, and I'm going to continue to say it. What is the difference between ordinary and extraordinary? It's the extra, absolutely. And so leadership is this. It's an invitation to greatness that we extend to others, and an invitation to greatness that we extend to others. Now, this is how we define extraordinary, and we've been doing this for the last 4 or 3, you know. And so tonight, extraordinary is defined as going beyond what is usual, going beyond what is regular or customary. It is exceptional to a very marked extent. It's rare and common and unique. And so we are not just talking about leadership, we're talking about extraordinary leadership. And so an important, crucial fact that we must not overlook when we're reading God's word is this. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things in the lives of others. God uses, and I want to drive that into your spirit, into your mind, into your heart. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things in the lives of others. All through Scripture, we read this. You remember, the challenge of leadership is to be strong, right? But not rude, to be kind, but not weak, to be bold, but not bully, be thoughtful, but not lazy, be humble, but not timid, be proud, but not arrogant, have humor, but without folly. And so leadership is all about people, and we've learned that people are complex. That's right, people are complex. It was Thomas J. Watson that said, nothing so conclusively proves a man's ability to lead others as what he does from day to day to lead himself. And so I just happened to come across, I think it was a relative on Facebook. They had posted something about trying to train your children at a young age. And one of the things you do is you teach them, you know, how do you eat an elephant? Anybody know how you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So you're training your children to do small things, you know, in increment ways. And like most important things she said was teach them to make their bed. When they begin the day making their bed, they feel something they've accomplished. And it's something routine. And it's a day-to-day leadership. I like what Ralph Waldo Emerson said. It said, trust men and they will be true to you. Treat them greatly and they will show themselves great. And my wife always talks about this. You know, people don't remember perhaps what you wear, perhaps not even remember what you say, but they will always remember how you made them feel. And I think that's very important, that we got to be so cautious on how I had a situation the other day, and I know Haley was there, and I text her. And I apologized to her, but I was fighting this thing that's going on. And she said, "Hi, Pastor JC," at an event we were at. And I said, "Hey, Haley." And then I just kept on going because I needed to go sit down back in the car. I was just really struggling. But I felt bad because I felt like I wasn't kind enough. And so I texted her. I said, "Look, I'm sorry, Haley. I'm sorry for doing it." She said, "You don't need to apologize. I completely understand." And so it's just those little things that may seem meaningless to us. And you can it's easy to rub people the wrong way, especially in these last days. People get offended over these minute things, the smallest things. And so we have to be very cautious. And so is understanding, showing people, you know, teaching them that greatness lies within you. Leading from the heart means understanding the power of connection. Everybody say connection. This is so instrumental and fundamental tonight. One of the greatest human needs is to be known. We all want to be known. And the John Ortberg, if you've never read any of his writings, they're phenomenal. But he says the yearning to attach and connect, to love and be loved, is the fiercest longing of the soul. And that's it. I mean, people, they want to connect. Maybe they're not that type of person that can connect, but there's a longing within every one of us that God has put inside of our lives that we want to love and we want to be loved. Every child is wanting a puppy. Every child is wanting a kitten. It's because they want to be able to show that affection. And then, hopefully, they'll be able to receive that affection as well. And we should always, of course, when we're talking with children, we should always show them affection. You know, a simple hug does so much to a child. And so people follow leaders who inspire them to believe greater things about themselves. And that's maybe, if we're guilty of something in our ministry, that's something I want to be guilty of, is to be guilty of in believing in you. Be guilty of in believing and in inspiring you that you are packed with potential and there's great days in front of you. So people, and I love this thought, people don't buy what you do. People buy why you do it. People don't buy what you do. People buy why you do it. Why are you doing this? What's your motivation behind what you're doing? So what you simply do is what you believe. And if you believe in people, if you believe in God, if you believe in the church, if you believe in the ministry is mainly serving one another in love. If you believe in those things and that's why you're doing those things, that will come across in a positive way. Extraordinary leaders recognize that every relational connection with those they lead has the potential to increase their influence. And so, I mean, there's people in my life, leaders in my life, that I will always remember. And it wasn't necessarily all the things they taught me. It was how they connected with me. I'll never forget my band director, James Hooper. And man, I admired him. He was my band director when I was in 7th grade and 8th grade. Then I moved to another town. And then I had another band director for a couple of years. And then in my junior year, he moved into the town that I was at. And he became my band director again, once more. And it was something that he said to me. My dad had been diagnosed with colon cancer very, very early on in my mom's marriage. In fact, they were married December 26, 1980. And it wasn't even like a week or 2 weeks later, he was diagnosed with colon cancer. And he had went through all the chemotherapy and everything that you could imagine. And then he had to wear the colostomy bag and had all that going on. And then my senior year, he had came down with pneumonia and had gotten really sick. And so I missed a cross-country meet, a very important cross-country meet. I missed that meet because they thought that he was going to die. This was in the fall. And so I told my coach, he said, "You do whatever you want to do." I said, "Coach, I really hate missing this, but I feel like I need to see my dad." And I was really struggling. My grades weren't good. I was struggling. I just having a hard time going through what I was going through, and I was not really talking to anybody, and that was probably on me. But I'll never forget this. I was going through. It was early in the morning, and it was during cross country, and I had just finished running, and I went to the band rooms early in the morning, and I was getting my trombone put together, sitting there, and then all of a sudden, Mr. Hooper, out of nowhere, I didn't even know he even knew. But he came over there and he said, "Hey, JC, can I come talk to me for a minute in the office?" And this is before band started. And I'm like, okay. And he just looks at me, and he's got tears in his eyes, and he goes, "Hey, JC, how sick is your dad?" And I told him, I said, he may die. And he said, "Is there anything I can do?" And I'll never forget that. He was instrumental in me, helping me, encouraging me. And, of course, you know, later that summer, my dad passed away in August. And so it's just, you'll never forget those connections. And Mr. Hooper would always say, "Who cares what other people say?" You know, and that, those seeds planted in my life, and they helped me, and they built my life up. So this brings me to my life point. My life point is this: the heart of leadership is the start of leadership. And I will tell you right now, I want everybody to look at me. I know you're writing this down, but I want you to hear me right now. Satan is after your heart. Satan is after your heart. He will poison your heart with offense, with hurt, with all kinds of things. Fear, animosity, trepidation, compromise. Satan, that's what he wants to do. And he'll come to your mind. I know Joyce Meyer's written great books, and there's been great preaching about the battles in the mind. I understand that. But he's really after your heart. And so this is important. The heart of leadership is the start of leadership. And if your heart is not in it, then you don't need to be leading. I know that was tough. But if your heart is not in it, if your heart is not involved, and maybe it's divided, then perhaps you probably should sit down for a moment and examine your heart. And that's what we're talking about, guarding your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And that's what Proverbs 4:23 tells us. And so the heart of the leadership is the start of leadership. So here we go. Leaders are keepers of culture. And when I reviewed my notes this afternoon, I thought about this statement. It doesn't mean a woke culture or today's culture. I'm talking primarily about the culture of the church. How we, and culture is not is not your fundamentals of faith, right? It's not all theology, but it's just the way we are, the way we build. And one of the benchmarks of culture that we've tried to convey to our congregation is people are our greatest investment, right? And we should never underestimate the power of or the value of a single person. And so this is very important. Leaders are keepers of culture, and hopefully we're maintaining and sustaining that ideology. Leaders know that great team cultures require deliberate effort. Our objective is to be effective. That's right. Teams excel when they are a part of a healthy environment. And this is something I taught even in Blaze when I was a youth pastor back there, you know, 25 years ago. I was teaching our young people about how important it is to be healthy spiritually. And so great team culture should cause people to clamor to work for your team, to want to be inspired to do something. I love that. I mean, especially when we have like a work day, you know, in the spring. I love watching some of you, and you guys just take it upon yourself to do things. You don't have to be asked. You just do it. You're like, "I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that." And that's beautiful. That is making not only connection, but is protecting the culture of our church. I like what Ron Johnson, he's a former vice president of Apple, the Apple Corporation. He says, "The most important component to the Apple experience is that the staff isn't focused on selling stuff." He says this, he says, "It's focused on building relationships and trying to make people's lives better." That's why I say people are our greatest investment. So three ways, real quickly, three ways your heart can get in the way of your leadership. Here we go. Number one, they're on your screen, obviously. But unintentionally becoming needy and dependent on others for your sense of value or worth. Unintentionally becoming, you know, I'm sure probably Haley, sister, those of you that's wedded and work in the medical field, Sister Janie, I'm sure Sister Lynn Merrick, I'm sure you all have heard of this codependency thought, right? A codependent trait that that we have to depend on somebody in order for us to exist as a human being. And so we need to understand that is something that can get in the way of our heart. Number two, being a friend when you need to be authority. Being a friend when you need to be in an authority. And there are times, you know, that we're just going to have to put the hammer down. and not be ugly about it, but say, hey, look, I'm your friend, I'm your pastor, I'm your friend, but also you need to know that there's some things that cannot exist in our congregation or our church. And so that's a very important thing. Number three is being fake when you need to be authentic. Teenagers can see right through you. They can see right through you. And that's why, when we were youth pastors trying to be their friend and trying to be cool with them, they see right through that. They want somebody to be real. One of the very first lessons I learned as a youth pastor in ministry, and I'm talking about leadership here, was to show some discipline. To show some discipline to others. When someone was acting out, I'll never forget David Craig. He said to me one day, he said, I knew you was going to be a great youth pastor. And he said, this is how I knew. And I said, well, tell me about it. And he said, when you first came here and you and Crystal came here and you were trying out, I was showing you the campus and I was introducing you to some of the youth and different people. And one of the young boys, it was Gus Schmidt's little boy. It was Justin. Justin, he was about 7 or 8 years old. He was running full speed down the hallway over there in the education building. And Brother Craig said, this is what you did. You grabbed his arm and he said, no. You need to slow down. You know, this is the house of God. And he said, when you said that, he said, I knew that there was something about you that resonated discipline and correction and understanding the institution of the church, that this is the body of Christ, not just the building, but the body of Christ. And it's very important to respect that. And so I think that's important. We want to be authentic with people. We don't want to be fake. I don't want any phony baloney stuff. Do you? There's enough. Listen, AI, it's to the point now you can't even tell what's real or what's not real, right? I don't want the church to become that way, do you? I don't want us to become an AI. I want us to become real, authentic. And so this is important. So here's some choices now. Let's look at the next segment. Four choices to make every day to help us create relational leadership habits. Number one, slow down. Everybody say slow down. Slow down to see people. Slow down to see people. I failed the other night when I was with talking with Haley and her family. Slow down. Number two, build time for conversation. And that doesn't mean you talking. That means you listening. Amen? God bless the two of you who said that. Amen? Amen. All of us. Build time for conversation. Number three, have fun with your team. I enjoy having fun, and I think this is important. People let their hair down. Enjoy time. Have fun. Number four, show appreciation. Those are important things. Leadership expert, his name is Tommy Newberry. He writes this. He says, if you want to increase the value of something in your life, take better care of it. If you want to increase the value of key relationships, he says, treasure them. Honor them with more interest and attention. Dwell on what's good about them. There is always something that's great or could be great. And I mean, this is just common sense 101, right? My grandmother Brown would always tell me this, and she would talk to me specifically about my father. Even when I was a little kid, she would say, John Kerry, people don't live forever. And I heard what she said. I mean, I understood what she said, but it never really meant anything until I got older, until I started going through funerals. I mean, it's emotionally exhausting when you do a funeral for a pastor, and especially have to do more than one a year. I mean, it wears on a pastor. And she would say things like that to help me understand that, you know, I need to honor and treasure people and honor them with more interest and attention, dwell on what's good about them, and understand that there's always something that's great or could be great. And so every relational connection you make gives you a greater opportunity to lead. Relational connection. Relational connection. When we get to heaven, we're going to know each other, right? And we're going to say, thank you for being on our team at Gospel Lighthouse Church. Thank you for encouraging me, you know, when I was going through a dark time in my life. Thank you for being obedient and showing me love and care and hope. You never know what people are thinking or what they're going through, do you? Not until you connect with them. And it could be just a simple smile, you know. I've heard a preacher say one time a man was in a restaurant, and the preacher had decided to go to one restaurant, but there was overcrowdedness, and he wasn't able to go there. He was kind of in a hurry, so he went to another restaurant, and when he walked in, he saw this man in a business suit, and he looked at him, and he smiled, you know, smiled at the guy, and the guy was like, yeah, I know who this preacher is. Well, the guy emails this preacher, and he says, listen, I was just at the end of my rope, and I felt like just giving up. I was hopeless. And he says, it wasn't until I saw you smile at me that gave me hope, that made me feel better about myself and in a situation I'm in or circumstance I'm in. It may be that, Sister Michelle. It may be just a simple smile or a simple, hey, hope to see you soon, or some kind of connection. But those are important. So let me ask you this question. Are you treasuring others? Look at your neighbor and ask them. Say, hey, neighbor, are you treasuring others? So that's a good question. So how are you connecting with those you lead? Do they know that you're for them and that you value them? Do they know that their stories and what inspires them? Do you know their stories and what inspires them to and motivates them, right? That you can keep going on. You can keep pressing through. The heart of leadership is the start of leadership. So how do I apply this to my life? Well, our application is this. To encourage, by definition, means to inspire with courage, to inspire with spirit or hope, to spur on, to give help, or even to foster. I love those. I think that is very important and very encouraging to all of us about this definition of encourage. Now, this is what I want you to do. You have a blank piece of paper before you. I want you to write to somebody sitting next to you, and simple as we can, just take a few moments. We've got a few moments. I want you to write out a small paragraph of the person that you're next to, and if you're not next to somebody, then write it to someone perhaps you know in here, and I want you to write it. I want you to write a small paragraph, and I want you of encouraging feedback geared toward the person, all right, that you're sitting next to. I want you to be honest, but I want you to write out a small paragraph of encouraging feedback. It could be simple like, hey, I love seeing you at church every Sunday or every Wednesday. I love that you're here on Wednesday nights and going through the leadership lessons and series with me. It's encouraging. While you do that, I'm going to read something to you. I haven't dated this, but I do know this is about 2 or 3 years old. It says, Pastor J.C., I have one and I keep it in my preaching book. I've kept it in there for a long time. It says, Pastor J.C., I praise God for the work you do here, the leadership you show is exceptional. You provide inspiration and encouragement through special insights into the Word. Planning for the future and preparing leaders and preachers is a special gift you have. May God richly bless you and yours. And this tonight that I keep in my book is from Brother Dale Truelove. So that's how important just what somebody writes is to a person. That inspires me and helps me to continue to move forward. And so what if we all determine tonight we're going to treasure one another? Treasure one another. Love them. It may be unconditional love, right? Love them, though. Love them with your heart. And you may have someone in your life that's unlovable, and I understand that. I truly do. But I will tell you this. God will help us through it if you'll just trust in Him and just say, God, I'm just going to be wise. I'm going to guard my heart through this, but I'm going to love that person unconditionally. And if it's someone that perhaps you don't see all the time and you've kind of got a divide between you, you know, you can pray for them. Your job is important. And your connection and your relationship to one another is important, but forgiveness is key. Now, it takes two people to bring reconciliation. We learned that already. But if you'll do your part, just let God do His part. God can soften the hardest heart. He absolutely can. God can bring love and grace and mercy. Amen? So when you're finished, go ahead and hand that to the person you've written that to. And we're going to get ready to dismiss. And I know our children are next door. And those of you, just go next door and maybe there's something left over. But we appreciate all you that have helped. I'm going to pray and I'll ask God's blessings upon our lives. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for this teaching. Thank you, Father, for your presence that's been here, your faithfulness. It's incomparable. Your blessings are so important to us, and we're grateful for that, Lord. And we just pray, help us to treasure one another throughout this season that we're in. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody says, amen. God bless you. Shake hands, get married. We will see you Sunday. We're going to be talking about bringing Christ into Christmas.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.